Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to yet again another fantastic Indie Creator interview. It's your Caper Sarah Cody, and we're keeping it geekly with our returning guest, Lori Foster, and we're here to keep it geekly with our new guest, Russell Nolte. We're here to break down Lucifer, Licorice, and everything in between. This was a phenomenal read. Had the opportunity to read issue one, and I love the story. I love the interiors. It gave me what regular show meets Adventure Time. It felt like there was a nod to Cuphead at some point in there as well.
Well, we've been doing this since 2018. I don't think Cuphead was around there, but there's definitely a nod to old school animation as well. Yeah. I think especially in the, like, Lucifer's neck has a lot of like Steamboat Willie feel to it. So for sure.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Before we dive too deep into the book, let's go ahead and get introductions out of the way. Lori, you've been on the show before, so we'll come to you last. Russell, this is your first time on, so for anyone listening, you know, go ahead and give us a little bit of an introduction to who you are and how you got into creating comic books.
Sure. So I'm a USA Today bestselling author. I've made all of these books. I've worked with Lori on my Cthulhu is Hard to Spell anthology series. She's the new publisher and editorial team on that. My seminal book is probably Ichabod Jones Monster Hunter, which just finished its run last year after 16 issues across 10 years. I've done Katrina Hates the Dead. I've done a bunch of anthologies. I've produced over 1,000 pages of comics in my career, on top of writing 40 novels and editing books and all sorts of stuff. So I mean, I came to it when I moved to LA. Just my management team brought me a bunch of comics and was like, you should probably try and get your books into comics. And I just kind of fell in love with the indie comic scene and what it had become since I remember, since the 90s. And so I started making Ichabod and a couple of other books, and I just kept going and going and going until today. Ichabod wasn't even the star of the show for a long time. It was my book, Katrina Hates the Dead, in my Godsverse Chronicles universe. That kind of kept the lights on until I started doing the anthologies, and that allowed me to keep going. And Cthulhu was hard to spell, like ballooned everything up and allowed us to like get a lot bigger audience than we did before. And during that time, I worked with Angela on a bunch of anthologies. I helped her get her first published work in Monsters and Other Scary Shit, and like I've always rocked her work, and I was super excited to work on her. So when she came and asked me if I would co-create this book with her, I like jumped on it.
Yeah, I was you know, looking at your website earlier, and the Cosmic Weed and the Godsverse Chronicle, you just had so many titles. Like, it was impressive how long that series went for. So how does it feel kind of jumping to the comic format? Do you prefer that over the novels, or which is kind of like more of that like sweet tooth for you?
I love both. I'll say that comics is very frustrating because you can't do a lot of it yourself unless you are drawing the book. But there is nothing like opening your inbox that first time you get like inked pages or penciled pages, that first time when you've like, you've sent the stuff on, that you've gone back and forth, you've kind of gotten sketches, you kind of know, and like there's this haze of like what, but then you get the pencils and you're like, oh, like this is, and if you've done it right, it's like better than you could even imagine. And like there's nothing like that feeling, because when you're making a novel, like you're doing most of the work. So like there's never that moment of, there's this moment of like, that it feels real that you get in comics that it, you just never get in novels, no matter how many people work on your team. Some of it happens when you are doing the cover, but like the cover's only one image where like you're literally watching the book get created and watching someone else breathe life into it. And it's very scary that first time, because you don't know if they're actually going to get the book, or you're going to have to find another artist, or like sometimes it takes months and months to get that first like round of pages done, or that first page done, but then it like all clicks, and it's just like there's nothing like it in the world. I've made movies, I've directed TV, I've done every format you could possibly imagine. I've done fashion photography, like I've done all of it except video games, and like there's nothing like that feeling of seeing some other human take the words that you said and make something better than you could ever imagine.
It really does feel indescribable. I only get to interview, I'm lucky enough to get to consume the material. I'm grateful for that, but I cannot wait for that day. I get to see, a script or an idea that I had like just come to life. So Lori, this is, I want to say your third time on the show. We had you on for the Badass Women of Kickstarter, for Cthulhu is Hard to Spell as well. How have you been since the last time you've been on the show? How's everything been going for you?
I've been good. I've been a little all over the place doing a whole bunch of stuff. Almost ready to print Cthulhu is Hard to Spell. I've had a couple of back and forths with the printer with proofs on that, so we've been waiting a little longer, but I want it to look perfect.
Yeah. So Cthulhu is hard to print, it sounds like.
Yeah, a little bit, right. So a little back and forth on like coatings and paper types just to make sure it's perfect, but that's basically ready to go. I always have a million things that are going on at once. We mentioned earlier, a little bit of Twitch streaming, a little bit of comics, a little bit of writing, a little bit of everything.
That is awesome. So are you, if I'm not mistaken, are you the inker on this?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because I was reading the description on the Kickstarter. I wasn't sure if that you were just listing that you were an inker or the inker on this project. So real quick, let's go ahead and dive back into this comic. So Lucifer Licorice is about a spoiled brat prince turned into a candy monster by a candy witch. I love it. I love how it starts off. Can you give us a little bit more about kind of just the creation of this book, Russell?
Sure. So Angela, back in 2018, it's been a long time and a lot has happened in 5 years, but like this is how I remember it. Angela might remember it differently, but Angela had not done a full long form comic before. She has this wonderful book called Detached that she was working on, but like she wanted to do like a singular long form project, and she had like four ideas, and like one was kind of like what ended up being Lucifer's character, and one was what ended up being Moober's character, and one was what ended up being the Candy Witch's character. And like she had these ideas, and I was like, well, why don't you just smash all of them together in this way? And like a couple of weeks went by, and I've been thinking about it, and Angela messaged me and was like, hey, you want to write that book that you talked about, because like I like how all of the ideas smash together. And what's wonderful about Angela is she's a yes and person. So like if you give a crazy idea, like she will make it crazier. And I am a yes and person. So kind of like we spent a bunch of time. She was coming to Comic-Con with me that year. It had to be 2018 because that was the first year we did it. And so we like very hurriedly rushed like doing an 8-page ash can for Comic-Con, and then at Comic-Con we kind of like just spent a week talking about this crazy book and like how we could make it, how we could one-up each other. And then over the year since then, she's kind of like created characters. I no longer have Facebook, but I would see her create these characters, and I was like, hey, is that spoken for, or can we find a way to incorporate that into Ichabod, into Lucifer? And so she has this world called Oddland, and which is like a lot of her, it's like a slice of life with monsters, and so it's wonderful. So she like has a bunch of stuff for that, but like for instance, she had this like emo demon who was trying to get over his relationship with his ex-girlfriend. And I was like, can we just like make that the crux of issue 2 and make them like the bad guys who were in the first issue? There's the third main character, Molly, is the heir to an Anise mine. And so that's being like boarded up. And so they have to like, that's like kind of like what, like they there's like all of this stuff that happens, but second issue is like them confronting these demons, and like so all of this like crazy stuff happens, like and we just kind of kept a running list of like how to make it even bonkerser. Unfortunately, after inking the second issue, Angela got very busy being a successful artist, and so like we had to We had to stop working on that project because both of us were very busy. And then when Lori, when I talked to Lori about the rights to Cthulhu Is Hard to Spell, we talked about doing another project. And this Lori now wants to get into all ages stuff, and Cthulhu is all ages. So like we kind of went back and forth, and this book had been kind of out of production for like 4 years at this point, 3 years at this point. And I was like, well, I have a bunch of projects that are like very cool, but like this one always in the back of my brain was like, well, this one's like half done. Yeah. So like instead of imagining like the Obsidian Spindle Saga as a book or like doing another Katrina, like I have this issue that's done that I know everyone loves because like we sold out of the run that we did for Comic-Con 2018 and 19, and like the issue is done and like we can just do it now. And Kickstarter has become less and less friendly to all ages comics over the years, but like I really like believe in this particular book, and like hopefully Lori does too. But it's like kind of not what anything is on Kickstarter now, so it's very hard to find like cross promotion opportunities. But we've been very, it's been very, I'm very pleased that when people read it, almost unanimously they love it.
I gotta say, I loved it as well. And I want to ask, as someone who's just written so many different levels and different mediums and genres, you know, how does it feel to tackle an all ages story? I mean, that just feels like a whole different beast to kind of just handle.
Well, I've always worked in this very cartoonish style. So even Ichabod is like a pretty cartoonish style. And so it was a little bit easier for me probably than most people. But like, it's basically instead of blood, like you just have to, like instead of fighting somebody violently, you have to just like have a more creative solution to your problems. It's the same conflict, like the same conflict across the same pages. You know, like if your book is like every 10 pages, they have a conflict. Like there's still the same conflict. You just have to like find solutions that you generally don't involve blood or sex or violence or any of those things. And I think it makes you a little bit more creative than because when you're the rule of pulp is like whenever you have a problem, you like punch your way out, or someone faints, or like you sex your way out. Like those are the rules, like like most pulp work, and most comics falls into that like pulpish at least pedigree. So when you're working on an all ages book, like you just don't have any of those solutions. The nice thing is kids are like very creative and they're very open to weirdness, so like you have the opportunity to do a lot of things that you wouldn't get away with in an adult book, because like kids just will go with the flow better than an adult does. Like, sorry adults, like you're generally not great at creativity, like, and kids are just like, oh yeah, like there's a licorice monster, like they don't even ask questions, like, like yes, I'm in. Whereas like a lot of adults are like, but why a licorice monster? I'm like, I don't know, like because that's the world. And they're like, but how, but explain the magic system. And I'm like, no, like I'm not gonna do that. You just have to like take a leap of faith. And children are just a lot better at taking that leap of faith because they've seen less and are more likely to just believe in your world. So I don't know. It's on one level, it's a lot harder. On the other level, it's a lot easier because you're just like, what if there's a monster who does this? And they're like, okay,
yes.
Yeah, I'm there. It looks cool. Like there's a tea towel ghost. Like what's a tea towel ghost? Like just, it's a ghost that's a tea towel. And like, you'll figure it out later, maybe, or you won't. And like, there's just that ability that things seem to have to be explained. Like, adults really need things to be explained eventually. Like, you know, we make fun of like, I make fun of Rise of Skywalker, like whatever that last, like that last debacle was of the Skywalker saga. And like, because it's all just like, let me answer a question. And like, who asked these questions? I'm like, adult humans, because they need to know like why Chewie and like this one character like hung out together. And like, they couldn't just be like, oh, well, I don't know. Like he went to a bar and like there was a person. And like, there's, in our adult life, like generally things happen without reason. And I think that part of being an adult and reading books is like, you want answers to things that you absolutely will never get in like the world. And kids don't have that. They're just like, they're not jaded. They're not like, they're asking why all of the times, and people are saying because, and they're like, oh, because, like, there's a thing here because it's, and so, yeah. It's one way it's limiting, but on a very different way, it's freeing. And there's like nothing like having a kid like see, like having had read your book and then seeing you at a convention or somewhere, because like they treat you like you're like a hero, as opposed to just like some guy who makes comics. I'm like, I love that. Like the best experience I've had are from like, I remember this one kid walked by my table and like saw me, and like her eyes just went wide, and like she like, and I was like, you don't get that with adults, because like they have a little bit more like jadedness. They can be very excited, and like I love my adult fans, don't get me wrong, like they're wonderful, but like there's not a lot of like, oh my god, like that human is a human. It's not just like a figment of my imagination.
Russell, if I ever see you in person, I promise I'll be that adult for you.
Awesome. I love it.
You know, and I'm wondering too, if maybe adults, like a lot of them lose that creativeness, like just with that 9-to-5 grind, they just get it beaten out of them when they get older. And, you know, children don't have to worry about that. They can just like live in their life and just absorb it, you know. What an awesome thing.
The creative adult is the kid that survived, like, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, right.
When I was in high school, like I thought everyone was going to end up being like a director or something, because everyone wants to do that. And I look back 20 years later and I'm like, wait, why are all my friends like tech, like data programmers and analysts and like big data farm and like bankers, and like what happened to all the directors and creators? And like the world beat that out of them, just beat that out of them. And like and if you want to get it back, like I highly recommend watching kids programming. Like a lot of it is very subversive, way more subversive than like Succession or any other like book place where like horrible people are doing horrible things for nebulous reasons. Like Adventure Time is like a very subversive,
oh my god,
show.
Yes.
Regular Time, a regular show, like Owl House, like all of these shows are like as subversive as anything else. And like also there's witches and magic and tea towel ghosts and like weird dogs that like can grow to the size of a house for no reason. Like, I don't know. I think it's explained at some time, but like not really in Adventure Time why Jake can, I think he drank like a liquid or something.
Mm-hmm. And Tree Trunk, you know, the old granny with the apple pies.
Yeah, exactly.
We have our good
it
friend.
It brings Purple an Gr- element of joy.
Yes. We have our good friend Purple Gorilla joining us on Job for Cody. I'm jaded as fuck, but that doesn't stop me from liking the concept of a licorice monster. We're going to be diving into these interiors soon, so stay tuned for that. Lori, I loved reading this book, but how does it feel to kind of be involved with bringing it back and you know, to print on Kickstarter? I mean, that has to feel amazing.
Yeah, I'm, like I said, it's joy. Like, I read the book and I met Angela, and it's just like, she's just the most amazing, friendly person, and her art is amazing, and it's just such a nice escape from the current world.
Yeah.
to be able to take something like that and make it real, and yeah, it's just really nice, and it's for everyone, and like Russell said, everyone who reads it loves it, which is why at this point I've been just giving it to people whose shows we're going to appear on, because I want you to just read it, because then you'll get it. You'll be like, oh, well, I have more joy because of this.
You know, after I read it, I was like, man, I'm gonna have to let my daughter read this, because she is gonna love this as well. This is like a book that not only, you know, I enjoyed, but you know, I know she's gonna love it just as much too, because, like, you know, Russell, like you said, she's just so creative with her just imagination and, you know, what goes into that. And we talked a little earlier about how the artist kind of had the concepts for these characters, but when you went to go put life into them and create the story, you know, how did you know, what was your process like? What was your routine like? Did you like to play music in the background, or maybe, you know, regular show or Adventure Times, you know, kind of just listen to it in the background?
Oh, yeah. I had Adventure Time playing or regular show, I forget. Like I rotated between them for like this project for sure. But like Angela, like kind of had the characters already there, and their personalities just like it was so easy to look at the first drawing I got of like Moober, which is like,
oh, I love it.
And like you just see that character, and you're like, oh, that is a dumb boy. That is a dumb, like, that's just that's like an adorably like just like oblivious, like very like lovable character. And you just see it and you're like, well, yeah, that's easily like Moober. Like it couldn't be anything else than this kind of like oblivious, naive, like kind of like weirdo. And like you look at that the design of Lucifer and you're like, oh, like that's like a bitter boy. Like he's just a bitter boy. Like he's just like and that is the pratfall character that you want to like watch like get hurt constantly. And like sure enough, like throughout the book, like you just like he's the butt of the joke, because like he takes himself so seriously. And then you see like Molly and you're like, oh well, like that's like that girl looks like she's seen everything. And mm-hmm. So like just like she's over it. And so like again, like you just like Angela has this way of designing these characters, and you're just like, oh yeah, I totally understand like how to make to bring this character to life and how to make them work together, because it is really an ensemble cast. And like the way you work with an ensemble cast is like all of the characters have to reinforce each other, but also they all have to like make the joke funnier. And that's the thing with like a comedy thing like this, is like they all have to be the butt of the joke and in on the joke, but like in their own ways. So like a Moober joke is very much like Lucifer will say something and there'll be like a panel of him like thinking and then like thinking and then thinking and then and like he'll just be like, I don't get it, or like he'll say something that's totally off the wall. Mm-hmm. And like a Lucifer joke is like he hears something and just takes it to this excessive level. And a Molly joke is like everything that happens to Molly just like is like she just does not care. Just like it ends, and it's like the deadpan character. So once you have kind of like in the same way like Friends, like they all have their jokes. Like they like these are the jokes that you tell to when this character is the butt of them. And like this is how you make sure that like no one is being cruel to the other characters. And like there's once you once and again, Angela has this amazing way of just, you look at a character and you're like, I literally know everything about this character just by like this one image.
I love that. And, you know, I really loved the explanation of it too. I think, you know, the way you explain just how deep it goes, like how many different layers it goes and how you have to handle these characters to make sure it lands perfectly, just shows just how much goes into creating an all ages book. I mean, it's really remarkable and there's a lot of depth to it. So when you started getting the script and handing it to Angela, like how did that collaboration look? Did you kind of just let her take the wheel and just do whatever she wanted, or did you kind of have an idea for certain panels?
I mean, I had a 20-page script and she gave me a 36-page book on it. So that was the first time we'd actually worked together on a long form. And so you learn what's amazing about working on so many different projects throughout the years, like Nick Torres, who did my interiors for the Cthulhu stories and I've worked with a lot, has a very different style than Angela. Angela's style is way more like she likes big panels. She likes a few panels on a page, and she needs the breath too. So what she taught me was like jokes need to breathe. I've been very much like my jokes are generally like very, very fast because I'm paying a page rate. And so like I needed to like move. And Angela really taught me how to like do like a 3-panel joke or a 5-panel joke, or just like this whole page is just to set up a joke that's going to come like 3 pages later. And like, and having that first issue is for me, that's the hardest thing. The hardest thing to get right is the first time you get pages from your artist, because you have to basically write for the artist, to like the artist's strengths. You either have to write for the artist's strengths or write for a thing that you want that like they want to work on. Yeah. So like Nick, he likes action and he likes epic fantasy and he likes magic. And like, so when I write for him, like, I'm like, I'm going to write this story, like very, very, he like makes these big gestures, and like all of his character, all of his comedy is like Laurel and Hardy. Like, it's all like this big, like larger than life, like History of the World Part One characters. Mm-hmm. And Angela is like the exact opposite. Like, she's like, I'm going to show you how to say 4 words in 10 pages and have these characters never move. And like, it's going to be hilarious. I think the best, my favorite panel is, there's just a panel that's black that is that has Moober in it. And he's making this like kind of duck face and he goes, I don't get it. Yeah. And like, it's a great, it's just like that is a thing that while Nick could do, it's not his strength. So like, it's been wonderful to work with, and every artist I've worked with has these ways that they work and things that they're strong at. And so in order, like when I did Black Market Heroin, the first 10 pages took months, because like, it was finding the style that was right and like getting the first page right. And like, it took months to get that first page. And once we had the first page, like the rest of it like worked, because the characters were right, like the backgrounds were right, like it all felt like a cohesive narrative. With so when I saw that because I'm co-creating this with Angela, so like I gave her a script and she's like, cool. And she's like, I did different stuff with it. And I was like, great. And by the time we did the second issue, or we did Banana Tree for Why Faith, or The Great Commandment, or we did Cold Soup for Elsewhere last year, it's like, I know Angela's comedy. And my job is to say, Angela, I have this piece about like, and like the whole joke of the whole thing is Elsewhere is about these really fast paced stories that mm-hmm. like, I don't know if you've read Elsewhere, it's like all action adventure. And like, the whole joke is that like this whole piece is just this monster orders soup. It is cold and it needs to be heated up. And she's like, I love it. And I'm like, I couldn't do that with Nick, because like, that is not a strength that of Nick's style.
Yeah.
I did a story for him, like Rats in the Kitchen, which was about a rat who like gets filmed eating this cheese, and he spends the whole time just like being like, I didn't eat that cheese. And like, it's just bigger than life, like big thing. And so Angela is great, because when you hand her something, it's like she just makes it an Angela. Like, some Absolutely. Artists are very good at like making it a you. Like, there's other artists that I'm like, they have 1,000 styles, like Rahil Munson. He just like, I have 1,000 styles, whatever you want, like I'll make it feel like you. But like, Angela's great, and Nick, and a lot of the collaborators I tend to work with are like, I want you to take this and make it a you with mm-hmm. like a little bit of me. But like, and then my job is, I see it as saying, these are the 4 things that I see in your work that you do better than any other artist in the world. And I'm going to like make this script to highlight all of that stuff. And the longer you work with an artist, just the better you get at saying, oh, like I know what story I want to tell, and I know what artist is going to get me there.
No, absolutely. And I think when you find someone with such a distinctive style, like, you want to utilize that. You want to capitalize on that and work with that strength instead of work against it, because that's when you get the best product.
Yeah. And like, Angela is the type of artist who, like, you look at her work and you say, where has this been all my life? Like, there's not a lot of artists that are like that. But like, I think I try to find artists to work for my books that are like, mm-hmm. like make you stop and be like, wait, like there was a world before Nick and Angela and Eric and all of these characters, these people that I've worked with, and Nathan and Matt, and there's the world after it. And like, it is like an earth-shattering difference, because like, I want to know where this has been all of my life.
Absolutely. and it is remarkable work. I love it as well. Excuse me. Let's go ahead and pull up the Kickstarter. Let's check out all these interiors and see what all the hype is about. So give me a second. We're going to add this to stream. And for everyone that is watching, I'm going to be dropping this in chat as well, so you could check it out with us. If you can back, we would love to see that. It is New Comic Book Day, so make sure you you walk home with a new comic today. And if you can't, simply putting this on Facebook and Twitter is 100% free. Word of mouth costs you nothing. You have nothing to lose. So we are looking at Lucifer Licorice Issue 1, currently at $5,992 of a $7,500 goal. 211 backers with 5 days left to go. So you're right almost at that, you know, at that quarter mark. How are you guys feeling about the campaign so far?
I'm going to let Lori handle that one.
Yeah, we'll let Lori get the mic for a little bit.
A little stressed out. I'm not going to lie. A little stressed out. I would really like this to fund because the issue's already done. We really want to get it made. We want to work on issue 2. We want more of this.
Mm-hmm. And also Project We Love too. Congratulations on that, guys.
Thank you. But yeah, I've been kind of adding exciting perks every week to kind of try to get people sucked in. And because I know people are hesitant again because it's all ages, but it's for everybody. Adults mm-hmm. like it too. Everyone who has read it absolutely loves it. So it's just a matter of reminding that or convincing people of that.
And right here is a cover. And Russell, you were saying earlier that the artist really liked to have it kind of opened. One thing I wanted to remark is the interiors, like, they're so detailed in the background. It is just, you look at every page and you have to really just soak it in because how beautiful it looks.
Yeah, and we really wanted to get that, like, Adventure Time feel of, like, mm-hmm. the backgrounds really do feel lived in. And, like, that's like a Angela specialty. But this is also an Angela specialty where, like, this is the panel I was talking about. That's like, this is probably my favorite panel in the book. Mm-hmm. And like, definitely the most memeable panel. Like, I think I used this in an email that I was like, I don't get it. Like, why are we $10,000 goal? And like, this feels very relatable while it's like, that's a tea towel.
Yeah. Exactly. And
I love it too because there's so many purposes you could use this for, right? It's like, yeah, is it smug? Is bashful? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, exactly.
So right here is a preview at some of these interiors and covers. I mean, just gorgeous work all around.
And those are Bungle Bums, so like they are attracted to. They're very sweet, so they're attracted to bitterness, and so like they're after Lucifer. And they only get chased away if you squirt them with cotton candy mm-hmm. mist.
I love that too. One of my favorite things is Molly. Like, she's unfazed by these two, but everyone else is just horrified by them. They scream monsters and shriek in fear. And Molly's just so unfazed. She carries that cotton spray on hand.
Yeah, exactly.
I would like that to be a real thing. Cotton candy.
Yeah,
like, why
you know
isn't that a thing?
They have the mouth spray, right? Like or the sour spray. That should be a thing too. This is gorgeous. I am loving these covers. These are beautiful.
One thing about working with Unlike the Hero Studios is they have some of the most amazing cover artists. And Gloria, do you want to? I don't even remember the names of all the. I just know the D's.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and we'll scroll up to this one right here.
So that the first two covers are actually Angela's. The very first one you showed is Angela's new cover, and then the second one is her older cover from the original iteration of this book. And then the next one is Emily Montevall, who was actually an intern who worked with us, and like, she's just out of college and she's making shit like this.
Wow.
Which is just, yeah, she's incredible. She's starting to blow up on Instagram, so we're really proud of her. She's really
killing
it.
I love, like, it illuminates almost, it feels like.
Yeah, it's, I love it. And it kind of appeals to Gen Z.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she did my favorite cover for Cthulhu as well, so.
And then we have this gorgeous cover too. This is another beautiful one with a starry night in the background. Yeah.
And that one's Dee Fish, who we just published her book this year, Finding Dee, and we're getting her on more stuff because, I mean, look at it. It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Congratulations. That is so awesome. So, Lori, I mean, Cthulhu's hard to spell, you know, this book as well. How did you and Russell meet? Let's give you the microphone and let you chat for a little bit.
As long as you're chatting about me.
Yes, yes.
I would say the first time I interacted with Russell was about Elsewhere. So that's our anthology. And he, the first time we interacted, he kind of helped me smooth out our submission process for Elsewhere, because I was kind of new to doing that, and he'd been doing anthologies for a while, and he was like, you should probably explain these certain things better. And I was like, huh. And I got it all changed. And then later on, he worked with Angela and did the short story for Elsewhere about the soup. And yeah, from there on out, I think we both kind of realized that we work really well together, and we're both kind of the same kind of work ethic, and it, like, just our personalities work really well. We collaborate really well. We're both on the ball. So it just,
oh my God, this shirt though, stop staring at my moobs.
Right?
I love it. You guys have such awesome merch. We have the sticker sheet right here. We have some enamel pins. I hate it here. That is awesome. I don't get it. This is fantastic merchandise.
So this is the thing about Angela is, like, we, I think Lori sent an email about like we need some ideas for merch. And like, Angela's like, what if I do these 500 things? And then I was like, Angela, that seems like too much work, but like, do you want to do that amount of work? Like, whatever. And then like one day she just like, I don't think we had any notes on any of this. Mm-hmm. Like she sent the sticker sheet basically as is. She sent the pins, like everything in here is just like Angela just like magically to slay monsters. Like I had no input on any of this stuff. She just like, she knows this world so well and knows how to like create this amazing cohesive experience.
Yeah, this is gorgeous. I love it. And then right here too, this original art example, this is phenomenal. Oh my God.
I think there's still original art tiers left too. So if you guys want a commission from Angela, she doesn't open her commissions very often, and this is the kind of stuff you'll get. It's absolutely amazing.
I love it too. Gold version, the best version. Let's go ahead and check out some of these tiers. Guys, if you are watching, right here is a link. Be sure to check this out with us. Like I said, if you can back, we would love to see it. It is New Comic Book Day. But if you could just put this on Facebook and Twitter, word of mouth is 100% free, and it costs you nothing, so nothing to lose. So we have, starting at the rewards, $8 for the digital issue of this. Outstanding price on that. $12 for cover A.
It is a 36-page issue, so it's almost the double issue as
yes.
well.
Yes, absolutely. $12 for issue A. We have the enamel choose a pin at $12. A great price on the pin, too. Are these? Is there like an add-on for this as well?
Yes. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. You can pick any pin and add it on if you want books and pins. Yeah.
And then we have cover B at $17, cover C at $17, as well as D as E as well. All the variants at an awesome price, just a few bucks more. Get all three pins at $30. The sweet sticker sheet, the comic, and the pin set at $35. Get that T-shirt at $45, and then at $50. Looks like everything but the shirt.
Yeah, we got kind of a different variety of bundles here. And when you get the bundles, you save money from adding all the items on. So I would always suggest, if you want more cool shit, to do the bundles.
We have the Munchie Merchie at $80, so you can get that shirt there if you want it. Postcard painting. So give us a little bit about this at $115.
So that's a watercolor commission, 4x6 watercolor commission. So it's postcard size that Angela will do by hand, send it to the backer.
Okay, and then subject of her choice as well. So, dude, that's so cool. When the artist is vibing it, you tend to get the best work. So I'm excited to see what some of those look like.
I've never seen Angela do like something that was not amazing with these things. So like, she just has this kind of like very whimsical brain that like it comes with just the most, it's just the most amazing artist, and also just the most amazing world that she has in the back of her head.
No, absolutely. At $150, you get the Eat Everything, the Moob Stravaganza tier right here, all the covers, a 3-pin set, the sticker sheet, and then the T-shirt. Outstanding prices. And then the 8x10 painting at $215. Is that going to be a subject of her choice as well? Yeah.
So yeah.
Subject of her choice. Well, so original art for $215, and then this art is gorgeous. So outstanding price, and like they said, the commissions don't open up very often. So get in while you still can. And then right here is a look at some of these add-ons. So real quick, after going through this Kickstarter in its entirety, Russell, we'll start with you. For anyone who might be on the fence about backing, what would you like to say to them to kind of help push them over that fence?
Okay, so there's two different kinds of people who are probably on the fence now. One is someone who has read my work previously and been like, but like, this is very, very, very different. And like, I would say to them, you've trusted me to bring you into a weird fantastical world before, so like, you should just trust that it's going to be awesome again. Like, you probably have read Cthulhu Is Hard to Spell or Cold Soup or like one of the stories that Angela and I have done together. You can also go and read Detached, which is Angela's webcomic and on Webtoon, and like, she's got 50 or so episodes on Webtoon, maybe it's even like 100 episodes now, of like this amazing world that she had. And like, it's basically like if Angela and I made like a jam piece.
That's awesome.
It's amazing. And that the next person is like, I don't do all ages books, and to which I would say, like, you should try, because like, they're kind of awesome. Like, yeah. They are like pure unadulterated joy in a world that like tries very hard to sap joy away from you. Mm-hmm. And Angela is one of like, I've hung out with her at 3 conventions online for a long time and like doing this book. And like, she is singularly one of like the best injections of joy I have ever, like just pure unadulterated joy and also like very subversive dark things that like I've ever met in my whole life. Like, I'm 40 now, so like, I can say like, I've lived probably half my life, and like, in that I cannot name 5 other people that like could have made a unique book like this, and like that, like, and also like deliver that pure unadulterated joy experience. Like, if you like Hilda, like, we jam out on Hilda a lot as well, so like, she's very much like the creator of Hilda, like in that kind of like awkward, weird, like amazing way that like, she's like, I created this incredible world. I'm like, why would you not make Bungle? Like, if you're like, Angela, Bungle Bombs are like a kind of weird thing. She's like, are they? Like, I don't think so. Like, why would you not? Like, it seems like the kind of thing that very easily should be made. And so like, she kind of like lets you, like gives you the safe space to like go further and also like explore feelings that like maybe you can't do with like a darker piece because of the way that she like put all of this stuff together. So like, I think I've worked with a lot of artists in my life. I've worked with a lot of creators in my life. And like, even if we had not worked together, like, this is nothing against like any of the other amazing creators who are all amazing in their own right. But like, Angela is a singular human, and like there are very few people that just can create something so odd and also make it work together. Mm-hmm. And this is really what Kickstarter is for. Like, I know like Kickstarter has become about booby books, and like, I have nothing against booby books, like nothing against any of that stuff, like go get yours. But like, Kickstarter is for weird books that like shouldn't exist but do. Like, that's mm-hmm. what I've been doing Kickstarter since like 2011. And so like, that's what you used to do. You used to be like, this book is very weird, like no one will ever buy it. You bring it to Kickstarter and it's like, wow, like 400 people actually want to buy that book. Like, that shouldn't be the case. And so like, not that Kickstarter is not for like all comics and all books, because like, I do believe like there's a place for everyone. But like, at its core, like, of all of the projects that I did, like, this book, like, will not exist without Kickstarter. Like, it has literally been stalled for 3 years. We like, the entire pandemic, plus some, we have not been able to work on this book. So, like, it will, like, most of my books are done before I ever bring them to Kickstarter. Like, the full run of them is done. This one, the first issue is done. The second issue is only going to be created if like we can fund this book. Mm-hmm. And so in its purest form, like this is like what Kickstarter was made for. Weird books that shouldn't exist, but like really also must exist.
I love it. I love it. And if you love booby books, take a chance on a movie book, right? Like,
absolutely.
Lori, what about you? For anyone, you know, on the fence, if you had a chance to kind of reach out to them, what would you say to them?
I keep sounding like a broken record about this, but everybody who's read this book loves it. They fall in love with it. I have, typically when I get a book or a proposal from someone, I have a focus group, okay, of like 20, 25 people, very diverse, you know, lots of women, there's people of color, there's LGBTQ people, and every single one of them read this and they were like, where's more? Like, how do I read more? We need to publish this. It's amazing. Like, it's, I don't know what else I can say to convince people. It's like Russell said, it's like unadulterated joy. There's also some darkness, but it's like, it's a great distraction from existence. It's colorful. It makes you laugh. Mm-hmm. You can read it with your kids, but you can read it by yourself and enjoy the crap out of it. And the merch is amazing.
The merch is fire. The merch is fire. Just as fire as the book. So guys, we've come to one of my favorite parts of the show where I get to ask for a little bit of advice. So for anyone who is listening and interesting to getting into creating comics or writing books for the first time, you know, Russell, what would be your advice to someone looking to start a script for the first time and maybe kind of just struggling to get going with it?
It's going to suck. And like, you just have to live with it. So your first thing is going to be bad. Your first steps were bad. I know you don't remember your first steps, but like, I'm sure your mother or father or like niece or like whoever helped raise you, like, can tell you you've wobbled in your first steps. Like, you couldn't, you like fell down, like you pooped yourself, whatever. Like, it's bad. Like, it's bad. It's a bad experience that first time. And like that stuff, like, you don't have to make. Like, we spend so much time like commoditizing every single world of like every single piece of our world that like you can spend years just making weird stuff and like finding your voice. And Angela would tell you, she redrew Detached, the webcomic that she has, like 5 times. Like, I like literally at least 3 times that I can remember. And I think it was a total of 5 times. And like, it changed completely every time. I have the first zine that she made, and it is very, very different than the final like Detached book that exists. So it is okay to like fail. It is okay to like suck. And like, you just can make stuff with no expectation of like it being good, and like it's still worthy of being existing. As a general overall thing, I think the most important thing that I say is like, we live in a world that like tries to zap our joy and tries to say that like we are only of value if we are contributing to the hyper-capitalist societal in money, in likes, in like, I don't know, fans, in subscribers to your newsletter, in people who back your book, in how much money is exchanged over the course of a year between you and other humans. And the absolute thing that I want to get across is like, all of that is bull. Yep. All of it. Like, every single thing is like some of the absolute best work I've made in my life gets no, like barely ever gets read or never gets read. Like, I can't give it away. Like, this book, Lucifer Licorice, is one of the best things that like I have ever made in my whole life. And like, it is struggling to succeed now with a fifth of the audience of Cthulhu is Hard to Spell. And like, that does not mean Cthulhu is Hard to Spell is 5 times better than this book. Like, you have intrinsic worth just by being born and existing in this world. And like, when you feel like the world is like telling you that you don't have worth, then you can just say, oh, that's just capitalism, silly, because it is. Like, it's just capitalism trying to tell you, you know, you have not done enough and you are not worthy of existing. But like, that's just silly. Like, that's, you have intrinsic worth just by being here. And this book hopefully is one of those things that can help you remember that about yourself. If whether you believe that or not, when I say it.
That was beautiful. Holy crap. Lori, I'm sorry. You got to follow that up. I don't know. So, I mean, that was, oh my God. I mean, I feel like I could just clip so many memorable things you've said and just make multiple quotes from it. That was good.
That was too deep. I can't. Oh, wow. Okay. well, going back to something I actually mentioned earlier, I think it's important to not take everything everyone says to heart, but to listen to advice if people are giving it to you, especially pros like Russell, like I did for our anthology. I had a second experience like this with The Sundering, which was our first tabletop RPG book. We were running the campaign on Kickstarter. We were running ads for it. And we posted an ad with a bunch of our mechanics on it. And we had a guy comment on it and be like, a bunch of this is wrong, and like, he basically took a crap all over it. So I messaged him and I said, hey, you want to help us fix our mechanics on this book so that they're right? And I found out that he worked for Sigil, and he's actually a huge tabletop guy, and now together, and he wants to write for us and he wants to work with us. And like, sometimes it's helps to swallow your pride and be like, okay, well, yeah, why is it bad? Like, tell me, explain the problem, and listen to them and see if they're full of crap. And in this case, he wasn't. He was like, no, this needs to change. And it created a huge amount of growth for us to do that. And yeah, it's hard to do, but sometimes you have to do it, and it really helps.
You know, because the initial response, you probably would have wanted to tell that dude to F off, right? Like, yeah, screw you too. But like, the fact that you were able to be like, you know, well, what can I do to make it better? And then you form that relationship. That's awesome. That's remarkable.
Thank you. Yeah, it's I like to tell that story because it's insane. Like, it just sounds insane. Yeah. But yeah, Ian is great. And we work together all the time. And yeah. It's worth it to listen to what people, and Russell's great, and that came from me listening to some criticisms that he had, so sometimes it pays.
You know, and I love that too, because that's something I've done since day one with the channel. And Lori, you've been a part of it too. Anytime I end an interview, I always ask how I can improve the show or what I could do to make it a better experience, because being able to take that criticism to the chin and being able to implement it and utilize it really helps you grow. I agree 110%. So let's end this on a strong note. Russell, Lori, what are you guys consuming outside of creating? You know, TV shows, video games, comic books, books. You know, what are you guys currently up to?
So I just finished Homesick Pilots, which is amazing. And I just finished Zoe Thorogood's It's Lonely at the Center of the Earth and Inkblot. And I read about 100 books a year. And I guess the one I've read that was most resonant recently is The Black Tongue Thief. I don't do a lot of like TV or any of that, but like, I keep a running record of my favorite books and comics. And those are the ones that have stood out recently. That and Schoolomance, Naomi Novik's series, which is like a twist on Harry Potter. So those are the ones that stand out for me.
Lori, what about you?
So first of all, I guess talk about not escapism. I finished Better Call Saul because they put the last season up. And then, of course, I had to go back and rewatch all of Breaking Bad.
Isn't it remarkable how it all lines up perfectly? They paid people for Better Call Saul to rewatch Breaking Bad to make sure the continuity stayed intact.
It's insane. Yeah. And then I watched El Camino, and I watched the whole thing, and I was just like, this is like, it's hard to believe that they wrote it a season at a time. It seems like the entire thing was planned. It's really hard to find problems with it. And it's inspiring creating wise and writing wise. It's like, I want to pretend my shit is cohesive like they're doing.
Lori's gonna become the Heisenberg of comics soon.
Right.
Say my name.
Hey, man.
So what about gaming, though? You're a gamer as well. Any new titles you're playing? Maybe the new Zelda?
Yeah. Oh boy, that's a problem. That's like, if you're a busy person, that game's a huge problem, man. There's too much to do. Like, there's so much dicking around and like building devices. I have a video where we built like a bicycle, but it's like 10 stories high worth of planks. Like, just for no, we just wanted to see if we could, and if Link could stay on the top of it and drive around, and he could.
You know, I just don't get it. I cannot build worth a crap. Anytime I build, it always falls off a cliff. And then, you know, I spend hours trying to build it, chopping down the trees, and it always falls off a cliff or something. I'm like, yep, it's just, it hates me.
Or something comes along and attacks you at just the wrong moment. And yeah, it's great. I've also been playing Cult of the Lamb.
Okay.
Which has been, I think Russell would really like that. I think it's kind of like a, it's like a farming game and a micromanaging game, except you lead a cult.
Okay.
And
yeah.
And you have to like convince people to follow you and make sacrifices to certain gods and like keep
I'm
your
totally
cult
into that.
Members
and also
well
this lamb plush
and...
is adorable.
It's like
Stardew Galaxy with like, yeah, it's like some Stardew Galaxy, but like very, very dark. And like, that's basically
exactly
my whole vibe.
Yes.
That
it's
is awesome.
Fantastic.
Well, before we end up all signing up for a cult, it is time for us to wrap things up. Guys, right there is the link to back this today. Like I said, if you can't back it, just put it wherever you can. Word of mouth is 100% free. Hope you all have a lovely, lovely Wednesday. But most importantly, guys, keep it geekly.